Kann Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
With me, please, to the book of Romans, New Testament, Romans, through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, through Acts, and you'll come to the book of Romans. And we're reading in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll cut in at verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. This is the word of God. This is God speaking to us. This is God revealing his self and his plan to us. And we really need to take heed of what God is saying to us through the Bible. Verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And that will do for the reading presently of the inspired, inerrant, trustworthy word of God. With the advent of media, internet, and all the rest of it, we're bombarded with information. And sifting out what is right and what is wrong can be difficult. And we come to the Bible and we find that there can be misconceptions too. You might understand something that's not in the Bible, but you've heard it, you've read it. Someone that you respect has told you something about God, something about salvation, something about the eternal state. And my mind went to a little fairy tale about the princess and the moon. A little princess was sick and she was in her bed and not doing too well at all. And her father, the king, went to see her and said, "Is there anything I can do that might just help you to recover and feel that little bit better?" And she said, "I'd like the moon." So he scratched his head a bit and went and talked to all the wise men and astronomers and so on. And they said, "It's an impossible task. Size, dimensions, gravity pull, distance, so on. It's just impossible." So he went and said to the little girl, "It's going to be difficult, you know." And she seemed to get worse in her condition. The jester slipped into her bedroom and sat on her bed and said, "Now I hear you're like the moon." "That's right, I like the moon." "Well, what size is the moon?" "It's not too big at all. I can hold my thumb up and I can cover it in the sky." "Okay, and how far away is the moon?" "It's not so far. It's, I see it sometimes entangled in the tree just outside my bedroom window." "And what's it made of?" "Ah, it's obvious, it's made of silver. You can see the silvery glow of it." "But what happens if we take the moon from the sky? There'll be no moon there." "No, no, no," she says, "it's just like a tooth. Another one will grow in its place." And so the jester had made a little ball of silver and gave it to the little girl. Whether it helped her recovery or not is not in the story, and it's of no consequence. You realize, of course, how misconceived the little girl was concerning the properties of the moon. She believed something, and believed it with all her heart, that something which was just not right. And I'm afraid that as I hear and listen to various things and read, I feel that we have got a lot of false thoughts concerning the Bible, about God, about the Lord Jesus, about what happens when we die, about where we'll go, about eternity. We've got all sorts of things. And I'd just like to tell you that we are going to only refer to the Word of God, the Bible, for the answers to some questions that we might have. Let's forget about what we might have, even from the very best of ministers that you may have listened to. Let's just listen to the Word of God. Some indeed think he doesn't exist. And really, the Bible hasn't really got too much to say to a person who doesn't believe in the existence of God. I think it's silly not to believe in God. I believe I need to have more faith to be an atheist than I have to be a Christian. Such is the enormity of the complexity of the world and the universe and even the human body. Is it 400 million cells and nerve ends in the human eye, brought together by chance and time and so on? So we believe in the existence of God. We believe that he created the world. We believe he made it so. Some believe that God is not interested in us. And in these days when there are wars and dreadful terrors around the world, it would be easy to think that God is uninterested in what's going on. How can God allow? We used to go down to Southend Seafront when we lived down south and preach the gospel there on a Sunday afternoon. And you could guarantee that some wiseacre would shout at us, and what about this? And he would refer to the latest atrocity or the war or so on. Well, there can't be a God if he can allow such things. He's not really interested in what we're doing. He's got a back seat, and we're just on our own with regards to these things. Interesting. I always find that God gets the blame for things that are just not his fault at all. What about ourselves? What about the things that we do that cause, in a little local scale, in ourselves, what about the things that we do that cause havoc in the family, or even in our own hearts and minds? And we just have an ability to mess up, haven't we? And do things that are against our interest, and do things that hurt us and others, and God gets the blame for all that. And God is interested, and we'll see that in a moment. Some believe that he just doesn't care about you. How can he? Is it 8 billion people upon the earth? How can God be interested in you sitting here in a little gospel hall in a medium-sized town or city in a smallish country? How can God be interested in you as an individual? He's just not so much interested, not so much caring about what goes on. We can have wrong thoughts about ourselves. We can wonder and say, well, look, if there is a God, and if all this is true, I think that I'm good enough to get by without any outside help. I'm a good person, and I'm sure you are. But are you? Depends who you're measuring yourself against, isn't it? I think the world long jump record was made in 1991, so that's some time ago, when Powell, wasn't it, Mike Powell? Broke the world record, and it has stood since. And I think he jumped something like 29 feet. That's probably not far short of the length of this hall. Tremendous jump he had. But let's just think about that at the moment. Let's say that we got Mike Powell. Well, he's a bit older now, but his present equivalent. And say myself, and say an older man or an older man. And we went to the edge of a precipice, and it was 35 feet in width, and we had to jump or we had to die. And Mike Powell, with all his expertise and training and skill, would take a run at it, and he would leap, and he would exceed the very best because his life depended on it. And at 30 feet down he'd go to his death. Well, I was never sporty. And I would totter to the end and make a magnificent leap, and maybe 10 feet, and down I'd go. And here's this elderly gentleman at 90, and he comes to the edge and he topples over 3 inches. The end result is the same. However good Mike Powell was, and however good I might be, and however good and well-intentioned and try as he might, this elderly gentleman, the result was the same: death. And so it is in spiritual things. It doesn't matter. And I'm not here to talk about or make you feel bad about things you have done or haven't done. The end result is that you're just not good enough. And the gospel is good news. And the good news is, and we read of it, 2 terms that describe you in this verse: ungodly and sinners. And when I tell you that you're a sinner, now you've been here before, surely, and you know what we mean when we're sinners. When I tell you you're a sinner, is that bad news or it's good news? It's good news, because it tells us here Christ died for you as a sinner. The other one is ungodly. Really just means unlike Christ in every way. And we can measure ourselves up against what we read of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And in every aspect of our life, we fail to meet that standard, which was the glory of God. So we're not good in ourselves. We need salvation. You might say, well, you know, I've got an appreciation of what these people have been saying when I've come here, and I can see that everything's just not right inside. And I can see that I just fail to measure up to the person of Christ, that's for sure. Maybe I'm just too bad. Maybe my background, my upbringing, my intellect, my conduct, behavior, over the past years has just excluded me from the possibility of salvation. Maybe just I'm just not good enough. Christ died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. There's no one in this universe that's too good. And there's no one in this universe too bad. God commends his love towards us. In while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we say to ourselves then, how do I then get this salvation? Is it possible that I can change when I become a Christian? Is there not just something in me that's just going to fail, become short? And I'm reminded of a little story, whether it's true or not, you'll judge at the end of it. There was a fox going to cross the river, and the scorpion came and said, "Look, Mr. Fox, can I get a help over to the other side?" And the fox said, "You think I'm daft?" He says, "You'll sting me and I'll die." The scorpion said, "Well, that would be foolish of me." He says, "Because if you die in the middle of the river, so will I." And the fox agrees a price, and off they go. Saw the logic of the scorpion's conversation. In the middle of the river, at the deepest part, the scorpion just stings the fox on the nose. And the fox says, "Listen, I'm going to die, but you'll die too. Why did you do it?" And the scorpion says, "It's just my nature. Couldn't help himself." And isn't that the case, isn't it? We've heard the gospel week in, week out. We know it to be true, and we just haven't come to that point when we accept Christ. Why? Because it's in our nature to do that which is wrong and not to do that which is good. And this evening, there is a possibility that you might understand that your nature can be changed through faith in Christ. But, and I know from my own personal experience, and I've spoken about this before here, that as a young lad, I set my face against God listening to the gospel preached. And I didn't want it. Set my impudent little face against God, rejecting his offer of salvation until one night I trusted Christ. Why? Because it was in my nature, rebelling against a God of infinite love and mercy towards a people who did not deserve that. So the gospel goes out again this evening to you. And what are you going to do with this information that you're getting? What about the gospel? If I were to sit down beside you, and I won't, but if I were to and say, are you a Christian? What would your answer be? Only three answers, really. Yes, I'm a Christian. No, I'm not a Christian. Or I don't know. And if you don't know, you're not a Christian. So the consequences of that, again, misconceptions against the future. What is heaven going to be like? Well, it's going to be angels and white robes and fluffy, feathery flowers sitting on little flowery clouds, playing harps, choir practice three times a day. And the Bible tells us that that is just not the case. No Peter at the gate vetting people as they come in. There's only one way that we get into God's heaven, and that's through faith in Christ's name. Why do you think he died? Was it for me, we sang, the Saviour died? And of course it was for you. And the beauty of it is, and we spoke about the 8 billion people in the world, because of God's infinite love, he loves you as an individual infinitely. We see that at Calvary, Christ coming, laying down his life, shedding his blood for you. Forget everyone else for a moment. Christ came and he shed his precious blood so that you might come into that real personal relationship with him. Can I ask you? And please answer, because I've sat in seats like this for the past 70 odd years. I know what it's like. The speaker asks a question and you don't answer. Isn't that right? Of course it's right. I know. Been there. I want to ask you a question, each one of us. I'll ask it and I'll answer trying to myself. Are you a Christian? This is at the whole basis of what we're trying to do. Are you a Christian? A Christian is not someone who just has born into a Christian country, although we know that Scotland is no longer a Christian country. A Christian is one who has put their personal faith in Christ, their heart's confidence, their trust, their reliance upon Christ. They have repented of that which they have done and sought the Saviour for salvation. Are you a Christian? Some of you haven't answered. Are you a Christian? And you can only answer in the fear of God, the answer to this. And all the time, God is offering to you this salvation. He willeth not, the Bible says, he willeth not the death of any. And we're not necessarily talking just about death as opposed to this life that we have here. He's talking about this eternal death that we have. He's not wanting us to live in that way. He wants us to come into the relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's the gospel. That's how you become a Christian. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we read from in the Word of God. We read that Christ came into the world, lived that perfect life, went to that place called Calvary, nails through his hands and feet. Nigel spoke about this so graphically this morning in his worship. Nails through his hands and feet, crown of thorns, not the back like a ploughed field under the whip. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And that was the only way whereby he paid the price for your sins and my sins, so that we could be washed clean, standing accepted before God. What a possibility it is, isn't it? That this evening, this afternoon, you can turn from death into life. You can have your place reserved in heaven. You can have peace with God. You know sin's forgiven. You're living now a life indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you'll maybe need to come to understand what that means. Because of God's love, because of what Christ died for you, because of a simple act of faith, don't need to wait till 3:30. You can bow your head in the presence of God, who knows and sees everything. Embrace Christ, repent of your sins, and be eternally saved through faith in him. May the Spirit work upon each one of us so that we know the reality of salvation this afternoon. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.